It is still an election year, despite the pandemic. Election Day is less than 6 months away. The presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden is still trying to shore up support across his party. Biden and former rival Bernie Sanders announced a joint unity task force to do just that. And President Trump heads to the swing state of Pennsylvania tomorrow to visit a medical supply company. We're joined now by NPR political correspondent Asma Khalid. And let's start with this unity task force. Biden made the announcement with Bernie Sanders. Clearly, this is part of Biden's attempt to shore up Democratic support. There are still Democrats who say he shouldn't be the one leading the ticket. How has this effort been going for him?
Well, the unity task force you mentioned is certainly a step toward building that, you know, unity and good feelings within the party. And I would say in part because one of the most high profile names participating in this effort will be Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, she's a leading progressive voice in the Democratic Party. She'll be co-chairing the climate change task force along with former Secretary of State John Kerry. But look, I would say, you know, the acrimony that I think many of us recall from 2016 between Sanders' world and Hillary Clinton's world is just not what we're seeing as much this year. And I'm not saying that there are not hurt feelings. There certainly are amongst some folks. But I think that both Sanders and Biden have individually made a lot of overtures to unite the party. And this task force, in fact, goes back to a pledge that the two men made when Sanders officially endorsed Biden last month. You know, it was not just an endorsement. It was a sense, they said, to come together and form these working groups on six policy issues like immigration and health care, and then they would take those recommendations to both the DNC and to Joe Biden. You know, I think the main question for me, Jeremy, though, is that even if we are seeing like leadership within the progressive organization, which we have, we've seen, you know, progressive organizations come out and support Joe Biden. The question that remains is because we're in such a non-traditional campaign year, you know, how much that really affects grassroots energy on the ground. And I don't know the answer to that because we really just aren't hearing and getting a chance to talk to a lot of voters right now.
Can't get out on the ground. One thing that could help Biden get some Democrats excited is going to be his choice for vice president. Where is he with that decision, and is it likely he'll make it soon?
Well, in terms of where he's at, he's announced a vice presidential search committee. He's named who's going to be on that. And they are now in the job process right now of vetting candidates. That process has just begun. You know, there are more than a dozen names that have been considered, all women, because we should point out that as Joe Biden has himself said, he is committed to picking a woman as his running mate. In terms of a timeline, he has said that he intends to have the vetting wrapped up by the summer. And it's often tradition to announce the VP pick officially just right before the convention. And now that the Democratic convention has been postponed until August, it gives him even more time. You know, what I will say is that Joe Biden, perhaps more than a traditional presidential candidate, cares a lot about the relationship between the president and the vice president. And, you know, I think we hear a lot of pundits talk about, you know, who might give him a geographic edge or who might give him a demographic edge. But one thing that we hear consistently from Biden is he wants someone who he is simpatico with, someone whom he trusts. And I think that matters a lot to him because he's been in the job before.
Well, and also because whoever Biden picks is going to be the vice president for the oldest elected president that we've ever had in a first term. So that'll be important as well.
Exactly.
And meanwhile,
so he has definitely said he's going to pick someone younger than him. I will say that. That he has made very clear when he said what he was looking for.
Meanwhile, the coronavirus has given President Trump a platform to get out his campaign message. Here he is talking in the Rose Garden Monday about his coronavirus response.
To battle a virus, my administration marshaled every resource at our nation's disposal. Public, private, military, economic, scientific, and industrial, all at your disposal.
Now, as we said, the president is heading to a medical factory in Pennsylvania tomorrow. This is the second trip after his trip out to Arizona last week. How are these trips playing into his campaign?
Well, I would say, you know, where the one thing we should definitely point out is that he is visiting states that he needs to win in November. I mean, these are states that are very close. Arizona is a state Republicans won in 2016. It's looking to be very tight. Pennsylvania is a state that Donald Trump won. And so what I will say is that these trips allow him to travel in person. He has not been able to hold campaign rallies, but he's been able to visit states, which means that he commands the local news in those places. And one thing I consistently hear from analysts when I talk to them is that one of the biggest challenges challenges that both Biden and Trump face right now is that they just have not been able to get a lot of local news coverage because they're not able to hold rallies in town. And Trump has that advantage. You know, you can argue whether or not these trips are, you know, presidential in nature or whether they are campaign. But I think the benefit to Trump is still the same. He's able to get attention in key swing states that he needs to win in November.
When you mentioned local news, that is one of the most trusted forms of news in this country. So it is very important for these candidates to be able to get on local news. Joe Biden, for his part, Asma, says he's trying to set an example by staying at home. He's got that studio in his basement in Delaware. Here he is in an interview with ABC's Good Morning America yesterday.
Everybody says, you know, Biden's hiding. Well, let me tell you something. We're doing very well. We're following the guidelines of the medical profession. We're following the guidelines of the experts, of the Dr. Fauci's of the world. We're doing very well. And that, matter of fact, we're winning if you look at all the polling data.
Now, when he talks about winning in the polls, there is a poll out today that has Biden ahead just barely in Georgia, which hasn't been competitive in a presidential race in a long time. It's still early, of course. But what are polling trends telling us now?
You know, I think what Biden is saying, which I think is valid here, is that despite the fact he has not been holding rallies, you know, he's not been able to just go out and campaign in a traditional format, his support seems to have been fairly steady. And at the same time, we see that President Trump, who is governing the country right now in a moment of crisis, has not seen that normal uptick that you might expect. You know, we think back to George W. Bush right after 9/11. Traditionally, in a moment of crisis, there is this desire to unite around the president. We're just not seeing that in the case of President Trump. You know, my caution here with polls, as you mentioned, is that it's so early. You know, and you think back to 2016, and there were so many polls that showed Hillary Clinton with an advantage early on. So I'm just really hesitant to kind of overinterpret the polls at this moment, specifically when really we know that this competition is likely to come down to a couple of key battleground states.
Biden has had to respond to allegations that he sexually assaulted a Senate staffer in the 1990s. Now, you've been reporting on this for a while. Is it going anywhere? Is there any new information forthcoming? Or is this going to be a he said, she said that will dog Biden until Election Day?
You know, in terms of how long this story will dog Biden, I don't know the answer to that. And I think in part it just depends on, A, whether or not Democrats feel that he has sufficiently answered the questions, and B, whether or not Donald Trump and the Trump campaign continue to bring this up as an issue. What I will say is that Tara Reid herself gave an interview recently to Megyn Kelly. This was her first on-camera interview after Joe Biden had publicly addressed the allegations. Not a lot of new information came out in that interview, so the degree to which the story will continue, I haven't really heard a lot of new information since then. I think the main question is, you know, Joe Biden has done a couple of interviews now since, I believe it was on Good Morning America, he was also asked a question about this, and on Morning Joe, you know, the degree to which it continues to be asked of him. He has now answered the question and said that this is not true, that he did not, you know, sexually assault this woman, Tara Reid, who has accused him of doing this in the 1990s. But I honestly just don't know the degree to which we will continue to hear this, in part because Donald Trump himself faces a whole slew of sexual assault allegations. So I don't know the degree to which Trump or his campaign thinks it is, you know, politically prudent to try to bring these allegations up again and again against Joe Biden.
Let me finally ask you, you mentioned the convention coming up in the summer. Now, it was pushed back, but do we really think there are going to be political conventions in the month of August? What's it going to be like?
Well, Lara Trump, who's an advisor to her father-in-law's campaign, told reporters on a press call yesterday that the Republicans are planning to meet in Charlotte this August as scheduled. So that is what we are hearing from the Republican side. You know, on the other hand, the Democrats are developing contingency plans for a possible remote convention. What we have heard on the Democratic side is that they want to give convention organizers the ability to try to figure out if there are ways for people to participate, you know, whether that means virtually or participate in some way where they don't have to physically be there to cast a ballot. So I guess this is all to say we just don't know what it will look like at this point. I think if you talk to sort of outside analysts, the consistent thing I'm hearing is a lot of skepticism over will the country be ready to have thousands of people together in one room in a traditional format like we normally do at a convention when, you know, a lot of states still haven't even lifted fully their stay-at-home orders.
Yeah, and especially when we're hearing already about universities saying we're not going to have people in the fall in classes. The idea of a huge convention. We'll see. We'll see. Stay tuned. Asma Khalid, NPR political correspondent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.